How are we doing, the rest of us? Having fun? Good? Are you really glad that the summer is over? See, I had to throw a little catchy word there, isn't it? To kind of get your attention. Well, I truly believe, even if the summer isn't over, we can still be glad. Do you believe that, sir? Yeah, we can all be glad, even if the summer is over. You know, we are not controlled by weather. Our feelings and our emotions and our heart and our life is not controlled by what circumstances around us do. You know, we live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We do not live by sight. We do not live by might, but we live by faith. So if the Spirit of God is in us, what if there is a beautiful thunderstorm just shows up right now with a 12-inch of snow and we don't all get trapped here? Wouldn't that be amazing just to worship the Lord a little longer? You know? I mean, you know, how about we stretch our hand, bless these guys. Come on, bless you guys. Thank you. Have a wonderful time, youth. Anna and Maria, go and have fun with them. We'll talk to you guys in November. Yeah, so we're going to release the youth friends. Yeah, so youth, you're released to go. Maria, thank you for looking after the kids. There are lots of vacant seats here, so come on up, just join me here. If we could have some lights, it would be helpful. If somebody can turn the lights on the way out. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, come on up, Gabriella. Come on, sit right here. Come on up. No? Feeling shy? You sit with your friend. Okay. Yeah, so what I was trying to say was, you know, we have to be cheerful. We have to be merry. We have to be happy. No matter what the circumstances is. We were just last night in an amazing birthday party. And I'm telling you, if I tell you the lady's name, you'll be in shock that she is such a great evangelist. I'm just one of us right here. She's not here with us tonight, this morning. But I was an absolute shock when we went to that birthday party of hers, of how this dear lady had congregated 50 people, and they were all celebrating her birthday day, and they were all thanking her for who she was. And pretty much every one of them said this: I am so proud of you that you share your faith in every of our conversation. In every of our conversation, you told us that how good God has been with you. And believe me, there were none of them Christians in the room. There were Catholics, there were some Muslims. And they all said, at least 15 people walked up and they all said this: we just want to thank you for just being who you are, being real. Thank you for the way your sons have really portrayed and showed us that you really love God and God has really watched over you. And she's a single mother, mind you. So this, just like when I was sitting there and watching this, it's like, man, I would have never ever thought about this dear lady, of what she's been doing. She's been evangelizing on the very quiet, but sharing God's love. And no matter what she's going through in her life, her heart is so merry. She's so joyful. We had some nice Indian dances they had. They had this dance, that dance, and Maureen and I were just so thrilled to be part of that. But it was fun. It was just like, man, Maureen and I felt like, you know, when we were like, 16, 17 years old, we used to dance, you know. You know, people used to go for these dances, you know. And Maureen is a good dancer, by the way, you know. You know, she taught me because she comes from a family line. They're good dancers, you know. And she kind of prompted me to dance a bit, and we did a little bit, you know. And they're like, Marina, I haven't moved my leg like that for the last 20 years, you know. So you have to allow my body to take a shape, you know, to get to the dancing, you know. So it was so fun. And I came back so cheerful. I said, man, that is so good that we need to be a group of people who are cheerful and fun and loving. And so turn to the person next to you and say, you know what? I want to be more cheerful from this day on. I really want to be more cheerful from this day on. Shabbat. Marina's being blasted, she's saying over here. Yeah, come on, give it to the people around you. Come on, let the anointing flow. Let the love of God flow in this place. Come on, touch somebody and say, come on, be cheerful. Be joyful. God's in this place. The love of God is here. We got to be in a church where we don't come to just say, I want to get the word out, and I want to get the message, and I want to go home, and then I want to just eat my little dinner that is put on a little slow cooker. No, that's not what we are here for. We are here to be cheerful and glad in the house of God. That's what the house of God does. You know, there's one proverb, scripture that I want to share with you. I've been meditating on the book of Proverbs. The Lord has asked me to do that. In Proverbs 15, verse 13, it says, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Let me read that again. Proverbs 15, verse 13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. I want to try to keep this message on this context, and I want to share with you about our heart. Our heart is the only place where God talks to us, where God meets with us. Our heart is the only place that determines who we are. Our heart is the only thing that really determines how we're going to live our life and how we're going to walk and how we're going to talk with each other. And it is this heart of yours and mine that has been sort of gone through phases of life with hurts and pains and this and that. And our heart has become like sometimes numb, sometimes blocked, closed. Sometimes our heart has become, you know, this is the way of life and I choose to live with it. And Ezekiel calls it a heart of stone. I want to share with you this morning. I want to minister to you this morning. This is a message. It's not a message. It's something to do. If you can go home this morning, really allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart, you would be a cheerful person. Let me go back to the book of Proverbs. It says here, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. How many would like to say that somebody, I like when people come up to me and say, you are such a cheerful person. You're such a beautiful person. You are such an amazing person. Not many of them have come and told me, but many of them come and told me that I have a great smile. And I said, okay, I take that as a compliment. But I don't hear a lot of people sometimes say to me, well, you're not a fun guy person sometimes. You know, like nobody has ever. But there are some people that I can go to and I can say, they're so full of life. Let me pick Feroz for a second. The guy's always smiling. A tree falls on his head, but he's smiling. You know, like no matter what happens, you talk to him, he's smiling through the whole conversation. What does that mean? That tells me about his heart. It's a cheerful heart would bring such joy, not for just yourself, but brings joy to others. And what you do inside your heart determines who you are on the inside and on the outside. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. If you do not really know what is in your heart and how your heart is, then you've really got some blockages. We need to do an open heart surgery this morning. We need to really say, check our heart and say, am I really a cheerful person? Can I go home and be around my wife and my wife will laugh and joke around when I am around her? Or can I go to my husband and my husband will say, man, she's so joyful? You see, we as Christians have lost the whole purpose of being joyful and cheerful. We're constantly carrying the Word of God, the Bible, and going with that righteous mindset. I know the truth sets me free, and you do not know the truth. So there is such a personality we carry of becoming, I know what I'm doing. You need to kind of put that down. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that to have honor, to honor somebody, you have to have humility. If you do not have humility in your heart, you cannot honor somebody. You know, so today I want to work with you, if that's okay with you. I want to talk to you about your heart. And it's called the heart of stone. And I am really believing, I am today, one day I need your permission that I may really want to minister to you. I don't want to just make it another morning meeting. But I want to challenge you. I want to say to yourself right now, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to open my heart and I'm willing to make a change. Take a moment right now. Tell him right now. I'm willing to open my heart and I'm willing to make a change. I just really want that to sink into your heart for a moment. Because I don't want to make this another great message and go on with life and say, you know. But I really, really believe that we as a church can have a heart that will allow us to love the Lord our God with absolute cheerfulness, with joy. Even there are circumstances around us. There's another proverb that I read earlier this morning. It says, I will have a cheerful heart besides the circumstances around me. How can I be a happy person? How can that happy face come out of me? What can I do that will make somebody look at me and say, man, I want to be with you. There's something about you that you're always cheerful and joyful. You are a Christian, I see that. But there's something about you. How can we do that? It is because our heart of stone has been hardened. I'll explain to you what a heart of stone is. Growing up as a little child, we all of us as infants have experienced possibly some sort of trauma. Growing up as a child, you possibly experience some sort of a trauma. Let me lay a little analysis before you. If you picture a little plant growing in a ground, a tender plant, and all of a sudden, the gardener comes in and he drops a big pile of cement. You know what a wet cement is? He drops cement around it because he's trying to build a foundation and trying to make it look good. What gets hard first? Somebody answer me. What does it get hard really quick? The cement gets hard, doesn't it? In the period of time, the cement gets hard. But the plant begins to grow how? Downward first, because the root begins to grow downward. And then eventually the plant begins to grow upward. The cement has become nice and hard, but the plant is still growing. So when you go outside your house, you see your tree, how beautifully it grows, and it gets bigger and bigger. What has become hard? The cement has become hard. That tree is you, is your heart. When we grow up as a child, the circumstances around us determines how our heart becomes. And everything that goes around us, some of us have gone through childhood days, not the best days. Parents got divorced. Some of us gone through childhood days where you never heard your mom say, I love you. Some of us gone through childhood. In different ways, things have been different in our life. So we have grown up, and the roots growing down, and our heart has become hard, and we begin to numb ourselves. We begin to say to ourselves, it's okay, this is what life is, this is what I'm supposed to live. So we have a heart of stone in us. And when we create that, when we have that heart of stone in us, we begin to live in an atmosphere where we begin to say, well, that's who I am. You just have to accept me who I am. And we begin to walk and live our Christian life. And we begin to say, you know, well, that's too bad. You know, my father just died when I was a little boy or a little girl. Or my mother just walked away on me. My father and mother didn't have any time for me. Or whatever could be the circumstances. And your heart has begun to just adapt to what life is at that time. And then you begin to grow and you begin to live in that circumstances. And now you've created a heart of stone. And then we become Christians. We give our life to the Lord. We get saved. We get all excited. We get all pumped up. My life is transformed. My life is renewed. I'm a new creation. All old things are passed away. I'm a new creation. But wait a minute. I'm still not a cheerful person. I still have the same problems what I had before I was saved. Well, nothing has really changed in my life. Nothing has really transformed in my heart. I'm still the same miserable person what I was before. So what is going on? Why things are not changed if I'm a new creation? If all things are new, if I'm a new creation, why things have not changed in me? Your heart is still that little infant that is hurt and wounded and numb and swollen and become stubborn and stiff and rejected and just feeling the pain. And so you have induced yourself with painkillers. It's okay. I'll just have a few drinks and get over it tonight. I'll just get into this and get over it tonight. I'll get into that, get over it tonight. And you begin to grow up to living your life. And you begin to live in adjustment saying, it's okay, that's my life. But look what God, Jesus said here. Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Because what I'm going to ask you to do this morning, move from your mind to your heart. We're not trying to have a mind conversation talk today. We're trying to have a talk about your heart. So let's move from your mind to your heart. Are you with me on that so far? Okay, so let's move to Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, I don't want to read the whole thing, but there are a couple of things I want to highlight. It's an amazing scripture where Jesus is saying, he's shared the parables with the people on the outside, and the disciples come up to him and tell him, Lord, why do you talk to the people in parables? It's a very interesting question. Why do you talk to them in parables? I heard this message from John Arnott in the beginning of year of 2011, and there's a whole different message, but I'm not going in there. But I still love the way John shared about this. And Jesus said, in verse 11, Matthew chapter 13, verse 11, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. And then if you scroll down and if you read right, in verse 14, Isaiah's promise or prophecy that he's reading, you will keep on hearing but will not understand. You will keep on seeing but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. He's gone back to the heart. He said, they keep on listening, message after message, Sunday after Sunday. We keep coming to church. We keep going to conference after conference. We keep radio after radio, things after things. We keep reading the Bible after Bible. But that is not making a difference in my life. What is it? He says it very beautifully in verse 15. I'll read it from the Amplified. Actually, I'll read it. No, I'll read it right here. For this heart's people has been calloused. What is the meaning of calloused? I went in the dictionary and found out hardened, numb, strong. You know, so they're listening to Jesus. Jesus is doing signs and wonders and miracles. But when he's about to teach them, they don't get it. They see with their eyes, but they don't understand it. They hear with the ears, but they don't get it. And so God had to talk to them in parables. He tells them about the sower who sows the seed on the rocky ground, on the thorny ground, and on good soil. Now let's ask the question right here. What is God was saying? That rocky ground is a heart. That thorny ground is a heart. That good soil is a heart. And it says over there, to you it has been granted the mysteries and the kingdom of heaven. I mean, that's a gift. If you look at down here, it says right here in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. God Almighty began to tell them that you are blessed to have eyes to see, ears to hear, understand what I am saying to you. For them, it has not been granted. See, I'm talking to the people right now in this room right here. To you, it has been granted. To you, it has been given. To you have been understanding. But if your heart is hardened, if your heart is callous and got numb and saying, well, I've gone through this divorce and you have no idea what I've gone through. I have gone through this separation. You have no idea what I've gone through. I've gone this miserable life. You have no idea what I've gone through. Your heart has become numb. And so your heart does not want you to be cheerful. It is saddened. It's deeply hurt and it's wounded. So what's in your heart comes on your face. What's in your heart begins to reflect on your life. But look what God said. That's what I love about it. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Do you believe that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Our God is a God of love. Our God is a God of peace. Our God wants to restore our children, restore His children. He wants to bring us back into that cheerful, joyful place. So I beg of you, church, this morning, don't try to be in that place of analysis. Well, you don't get it. You don't understand it. That's been my life. That's how I am. My cry to you and to this as a church is saying, I really want this church to become a jumpy, smiley, fun church. My cry of my heart is, I have been speaking to the worship team and I said, guys, I give you absolute permission to dance before the Lord, to sing before the Lord. David danced unashamedly. David danced absolutely. He had a beautiful, cheerful heart. He didn't have this little thing, well, I have to get in the word and I have to get into this and I have to get into that. Yes, he did all that, but his heart was cheerful. His heart was joyful. He was merry. He was happy. And why is it that we cannot be that? Oh, it's my culture. Oh, it's the way I grew up. Oh, it's the way I live. No, culture came afterwards. You were born before the culture came into existence. You were already thought in God's heart 2,000 years ago, million years ago. God already knew who you were. So how we begin to really take from this place on, it's up to you. It's up to you. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The heart of God is for you. The one thing he's saying is that, long for me, desire for me, become hungry for me, thirsty for me. You know, we are so caught up with our circumstances. We are so caught up with, well, I don't have this money. I'm in a place in my life and I'm saying, Marina, I really, really, really want to get out of the box. I really want to live my life, not because I'm a pastor, but I want to live in the fullness of what God is about to do on this earth. And I want to be part of that in every way. I said, God, I don't care where I'm moved, where I'm shuffled, what I'm done, the circumstances are now going to determine my hunger for you. It's because a heart is needed to be healed because it's wounded. A heart needs to be cleansed because it has full of sin in it. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you have a sin in your heart. If you have anger towards somebody, you have sin in your heart. If you think you want to be an activist, well, you don't understand this and you don't understand that. Well, that is a sin in your heart because God doesn't want us to live that way. God is saying, be like a child and live like a child before me and I will bless you. So let's walk through this heart of stone. Why does God want to remove a heart of stone? A heart made of stone cannot feel God or know him. Stones have no capacity for relationship. Picture that. Very true. What is your heart? If it's like a little rock, if this is what your heart is, and it's like a rock, if you cannot smile at somebody and love at somebody and hug somebody and be cheerful. I was never a touchy person. But what God has done in my heart in the last 11 years. I so love my sons and my wife to touch them, hug them. They get so tired of me. My son was just telling all the youth, we were wrestling on his bed and we broke his bed. And he's like, Dad, you need to get over me. I'm 21. I said, I'm never going to get over you, son. I think my heart has changed in the last 11 years. I said, oh, God, I want to be so cheerful for my wife. I want to live my life so beautiful for her because I want to be the best husband I can for her and make her the best, give her the happiest moment of my life for her. That when I die and go, she can at least say, you know what, I didn't have all the best, but he was the best husband who was smiling at me all the time. We have to have a cheerful life. We cannot be cheerful with a couple of glasses of wine. It'll make you cheerful for a moment, but you'll get up with a stomach ache next day morning. You know, this and that can make you cheerful. But a heart that's full of joy, it's filled with the Holy Spirit, full of Mary, cheerful living water within you, flowing out of you, will have an everlasting impact on your family and on your children and for the neighbor around you. Jeremiah 24:7 says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. He's going after your heart. He is not going after the time that you spend thinking that you are being religious. He's not going after the time that you think your time spending ministering to others. He's not going after the things that you do for God. He's saying, be like Mary, sit at my feet, because she's chosen the good part. At this conference, I heard something very beautiful comment made by Paul Manwaring. Bill Johnson told him that all Martha had to do, go to Jesus and ask him, what sandwich would you like? So she would have sat at his feet like Mary and forgotten about the sandwich, and she would have just fallen in love with him. She forgot to ask Jesus what he wanted, and she kept running around in the kitchen trying to prepare the best meal. She thought that he would like it. What an amazing understanding that Bill Johnson had about that. That it is so good to go before the Lord and say, Lord, how can I worship you today? What can I do before you today? I'm going to church this Sunday morning. How can I sing to you this morning? What would you like me to do, Lord? He would love that. He would rejoice over you. He will dance over you. He will sing over you. He will say, oh, my son, that's my daughter. That's what I desire of you. Come to me, and I will love on you. But what happens? No. Our heart has become hardened. Our heart has become numb. And we begin to live in that. I want you to put your hand on your heart right now. Close your eyes. Get right with God right now. Lord, I commit myself to you today. Repeat this after me. Lord, I commit myself to you today. Could you repeat this after me? Lord, I commit myself to you today. And I ask that you send your Holy Spirit to come and show me where I have a heart of stone. Father, I want to have a heart that knows you. Please reveal to me where I have hardened my heart. Amen. What is a heart of stone? It's a defense mechanism made up of inner walls. It's a defense mechanism. Nobody's going to touch me. Nobody's going to talk about my inner life. Do you notice some of us struggle? I'm going to hit it right on the nail. When we get into a small group, we are very afraid to bring out things in the open because we don't want to become too vulnerable. Oh, I don't know what this person will think about me. And so we just share something that is very lightly important. Oh, well, just pray for me that my job will be good. Well, just pray for me that I have a good day, good week next week. I'm just going to be very practical and honest. Wouldn't it be amazing you say in a set of group and you say, man, I am tired of this. I really want God to meet with me. I really want the Holy Spirit to, I want to face Him. I really want to see Him. I want to fall in love with Him. Can you pray for me? I don't understand why I sometimes behave like this. And the Holy Spirit says, that's it. She or he is hungry for me, and they desire it, and I'm going to give it to them today. And the Bible says in James 5, 16, 17, you know, when we confess our sin to one another, when we pray with one another, God hears it and He brings healing to your heart. See, the thing is that we need to stop behaving like little things, and I like to do things in a closet. We need to get real with God. That's why cell group is so important. We get in a cell. We just don't talk this and that. We get right with God. Tell me, there are some guys in our cell who have come and shared things that I want to just tell you. I can't bear this. My children are doing this and that, and I want prayer for that. What happens? God breaks in. A heart of stone becomes a hiding place that we believe will protect us from hurt, but which we in fact keep us isolated and lonely. Wow, are you guys with me so far? Wow. When our hearts of stone formed, we talked about that a little bit. It happens when childhood days, but I also believe it happens during our teenage days, or the days we get married and we have children and whatnot. Between our spouses, if things go wrong and everything, think we just close our heart and we just say, well, and we form something called an inner vow. I'm never going to have anybody hurt me like this again. That's an inner vow. I'm never going to have anybody make those decisions for me again. I'm never going to have anybody speak to me like that again. I'm never going to make anybody get into my life and tell me how to live my life. And we get control of our life, and we begin to live in that place of saying, I know what I'm doing. It's between me and my God. So we completely put aside what God is saying, but get together with one another, love on one another, cherish with one another. If you cannot love yourself, how can you love God? If you cannot love your neighbor, how can you say you love God? If you cannot love the person sitting beside you, how can you say you love God? And something that God has been teaching me, we need to be very careful. Wow. What are inner vows? Inner vows are strong determinations made by the mind and the heart, and that is a response to pain. Directive that holds us to think and act according to a heart decision and refuse to change. Sounds like, I will never trust a man again. I will never be like my mom again. I will never shout like my dad. I will never hurt people's feeling. Those inner vows are a sin before God. Okay, here is an amazing, little personal review that we're going to go through right now. Oh, before I do that, let me share this quick testimony. We were in India doing a leader school, talking on the subject Heart of Stone. I think it was in 2006 or somewhere. And this girl was sitting somewhere around here. If Marina remembers, Marina was with me. And all through my messages or through the school, she was just stiff and like wouldn't move, but just stare. And no, she had no absolute, like she was so dry, I almost felt. And she would lay hands on her, she would just stiff, nothing. And I was just taking a testimony time. And all of a sudden, she started walking towards me. I said, oh my gosh, I hope she's going to come out with the right testimony. You know, sometimes you're like, he want to make sure people give you the right testimony. Or I was like, almost think she's going to come and slap me the way she was walking towards me, you know. Like she walked like that, you know. And she said, I never wanted to share this, but I'm going to do it. And I said, okay. So Marina was with me. And thank God for my wife, she's with me. So I caught her hand and I said, what happened, dear? What did God do with me? You know, and she said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm doing this because I want to do it now, kind of a thing. We're saying, when you were sharing the message on forgiveness, she left the room, she walked away. We had put about 200 people. This is a pastor's wife in a hotel. We had put them in a small, nice hotel. And she went to a room and she locked herself and she said, no, I don't like this school anymore. I don't want to do all this. This is all nonsense. And she closed herself and she covered herself with the blanket and she was sobbing. And God, this is not fair. This is not fair. God, this is not fair. And all of a sudden, she felt this tight hug around her. And she had this tight hug and she thought it was a roommate. And she said, leave me alone. Leave me alone. I don't want to be told by anybody. And she heard this whisper saying, it's okay. It's okay. I am with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Go down back to this room and forgive the one who has sexually abused you. She was sexually abused, a pastor's wife, and she could never forgive this man who abused her. She held it against and she did her church pastoring. She did everything she wanted. But that hurt, that numbness, that heart of stone, she was carrying it all the way through in her heart. She came down the room and she said, I chose to forgive the man who touched me wrongly. And I forgave him. And she is just testifying for the very first time. And Marina and I were just holding her hand. And my heart was full of tears and I like felt so sorry for her. And I said a very simple prayer. I said, Father, will you come and show her how much you love her? She became like a little dry sponge to like a wet sponge. She just began to receive. She just received this love right into her heart. And she fell like a ball on the ground. And for the next 3 days of the school, she had to be carried to the washroom, carried to her bedroom, carried to the school because she was so soaked with the Father's love. And she was all she was doing, weeping and crying. And her husband is looking at her, what has happened to my wife? And he said, she just received the Father's love. You see, God loves us unconditionally. But the wall, the heart of stone that we have put in front of us is not enabling us to see the fullness of the love. It stops us. It has been really choked us up. We get a little simmer of it here and there. But when that wall has been removed out completely, the fullness of love just comes in and it sucks you out and it brings a joy to you. So here is a little personal test for yourself. You may close your eyes. And I want to ask you these questions and see if any of these questions that I'm asking you relate to you. So here are some of the hidden heart of stone that you and I may have. Number one, fear of intimacy. Keep people at a distance. Protect yourself. Keep up a good front but have trouble being real. Find it hard to show emotions in front of others. Stuff your emotions. Or maybe you can't feel emotions. Live life keeping it all together. Have the role of the strong one. Find it difficult to ask for help. This is a big one for us cell leaders. Be ministered to others, but can't be ministered to. Wish other people would or could keep it all together like they do. Look down on those who express emotions as being immature and weak. Take a moment, ask the Holy Spirit if I could have some soft instrumental music. Take a moment. You don't need to. This is your moment. Where is the stony heart that's blocking you to be that cheerful person, that joyful person, that loving person? So as we want to grow in the anointing, we cannot grow in the anointing if your heart is full of hurt and woundedness and pain. So Holy Spirit, I invite you right now to minister to us right now. Help us to see where is some of the stony heart that is blocking me to receive the love of my Father, blocking me to be that joyful person, blocking me to be a happy person. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, His presence is here. He's ministering to you right now. And if God has given you an area of your life that has been, seems to be the strong one, I want you to take hold of that for a moment. I'm not going to ask any cell leaders, anybody to pray for anybody. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit that's going to do the work. Wow. Come, Holy Spirit. If you want the promise of the Father, Ezekiel 36:26. Of a new heart and a new spirit, then lay down those walls this morning. Just come to agreement. I need help in this area. Come to agreement that I'm willing to forgive this person. See, forgiveness is a spiritual thing. Forgiveness is spiritual. Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive him? It says 70 times 7, which means God was saying, the more you forgive, the deeper you go with me. Wow. Maybe here and your father died when you were a little boy or a girl, and it wasn't fair on your part. Why did he do this to me? Why did he just die? Why did he just go away? Why did he just leave me like that? And you made an inner vow, I will never allow another man to hurt me again. And then you go on with life and you find a boy or you find a girl, and that boy and the girl hurt you again. And you wonder, why did this happen to me again? Why was I wronged again? Why was I put to this test again? Why this person leave me again? It is of that inner vow that you made. And God is saying, my girl, my son, I want to love you. I want to give you the very best. But you have chosen to close your heart from me. You have chosen to block yourself from me. You have chosen to live the way you want to live. Open up your heart to me. Give it to me right now. And I will take this stony heart of yours and I'll give you a brand new heart today, right now. And I will put a new spirit within you. This is your opportunity, and I don't want you to miss it. The presence of God is so thick here. The Father is all over this place. speak to every one of you who hears my voice. Listen to me now. If there is a heart of stone in you, don't be stubborn. Give it up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's put our hand on our heart. We're into ministry right now. And say this corporately. Father, say nice and loud and clear. Father, forgive me for hardening my heart. Forgive me the walls that I have kept people out. Forgive me for keeping you out. Father, come and soften my heart. I give you permission. Come and take the walls down. Take this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. Now, if God has shown you who that person was that made you to make that decision, I want you to bring that name in front of you right now. I want you to begin to release him. Release her. I'm going to walk you through this prayer. It's very simple. Father, I choose to forgive so and so. I release him. I know he has hurt me. I know she has hurt me. I know they have abandoned me. They have left me alone. But I choose to forgive them. How many times I have to forgive? 70 times 7. I forgive them. Do it again and again till your heart gets it. I remember John always telling us, our heart is a slow learner. It doesn't pick up things quickly. So give your heart a moment. Don't be in a hurry. Give it a moment. I'm just going to pause for a minute or two to give you a chance for the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Just feel in my spirit for some of you, you need to come to that place of forgiving. So you can even say a prayer, Lord, bring me to the place of forgiving. For you, some of you, you may be feeling, I don't understand this. I have done it. I don't understand. What more do I need to do? Let it be a spiritual thing. Lord, bring me to that place that I can forgive. I also feel some of you are very angry with God. It's not fair, God. It's not fair. You need to ask God for forgiveness for holding yourself back. Thank you, Jesus. And some of you, you need to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. You've chosen to become hard-hearted. You've chosen to become numb. You've chosen to become, live your life. This is who I am. This is who I'm going to live. You got to forgive yourself. Release yourself to the Father. Let's do one more prayer. Breaking the inner vow. And you can all repeat after me. Father, forgive me for the decision of my heart. Now that inner vow that you made, whatever the inner vow, I will never be like my mom. I will never forgive so and so. I'll never do something. I want you to release that and say, Lord, I'm sorry for making such a vow. I renounce that vow. I repent, Lord, for saying a thing like, I'd never want to be like my mom. I never want to be like my dad. I never want to be like, I'll never marry a man. I'll never marry a woman. I'll never do this and I'll never do that. Whatever that inner vow you made, begin to ask God to forgive you and release that. You may be wondering, do I need to do this? I've done this a million times. But something that I've learned, it's a spiritual thing. The more you repent, the more you renounce, the more you ask for forgiveness, the deeper your root is going to go in God's heart. God's going to say, I am so proud of you today. I am so proud of you today that you're willing to become a little more vulnerable for me to come into your heart. And I want to speak this blessing over you, and I'm going to release you. So let's all stand. Father, I pray right now, Father. I pray for this church, Father, that we will choose to go deeper in your love, Father. We want to become more desperate for your presence. We want to become more joyful and cheerful in your kingdom. So, Father, as we have choose to surrender our heart, I pray right now, Father, according to your word, according to your promise, according to Ezekiel 36, 26, Father, replace that heart of stone and release a heart of flesh in this room right now. Replace the heart of stone and release a heart of flesh so they may feel your presence, that they may know your presence, that they may release your love right now, Father, that they may say, I can love my husband. I can hug him. I can kiss him. I can hold him. I can say good things to him. Or I can look at another person and say, you're a nice person. So Father, I pray, Father, let the spirit of love flow in this room right now. Right now, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I speak this blessing upon you according to Zephaniah 3. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. And behold, I am going to deal at that time with all your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will turn their shame into praise and renounce in all the earth. So, Father, I ask you to lift off every shame of them right now, Father, and give them double portion, Father. Lift off every shame of their mind. Lift off every shame that they've been carrying, that I am this and I am that, and bring blessing. I speak Father's blessing upon you. I speak Daddy's blessing upon you. He loves you with an everlasting love. I thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I bless you to go, release you to go. But if you need ministry, if you feel God wants to do something in a specific area for you, Maureen and I are here. Cell leaders are here. We're happy to pray for you. And so I invite you to come forward if you need prayer. We'll be happy to pray. Otherwise, I bless you. I thank you for coming on this beautiful Sunday morning. Next Sunday, just to remind you, John and Carol are with us. Bring your friends. Bring your family. Bring some food. And bring a main dish. And we'll have a wonderful time here. In Jesus' name, amen.